I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat making his standard Monday appearance on a Saturday. His standard Monday appearance, except it's on a Saturday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, which is centered on Atletico taking their eyes off the prize in a 1-1 draw with Girona at the Wanda Metropolitano on Saturday. Very disappointing result as Atletico needed a win to bounce back from the midweek Copa disappointment against Sevilla. They had the lead, but then blew it in the 74th minute after Antoine Griezmann gave them that advantage in the first half. As we recorded this on Saturday, we did not yet know the full extent of Diego Costa's injury to his adductor, which will keep him out of the next two games at least. But we still discuss his early exit, Griezmann's early exit, Atletico losing the plot, not playing with the required intensity against La Liga's surprise team, and where this leaves Atletico in the league title race. Spoiler, there wasn't one to begin with. We'll also talk about Atletico's best player from the first half of the season and preview Tuesday's game in Seville, where Atleti will look to overturn a 2-1 first leg deficit and advance to the Copa del Rey semifinals. It will not be easy, especially in that stadium and without the services of Costa, and perhaps Felipe Luis as well. Before we get started with this edition of Colchonero Chat, a couple programming notes. Make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the program on your podcasting platform of choice. That includes iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It really helps us out. It gets more eyes and ears on the program. In addition, if you want access to our bonus rumor roundup pods, head over to patreon.com/colchonerochat, where the bonus pods are just part of the deal. You'll get a lot of cool benefits, including episode previews, snippets, behind the scenes look at the podcasting process, and a lot more. So patreon.com/colchonerochat is the place to be if you want to support the show. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
Hey, they may want him.
After the horror show that went on there.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be happy for them to have Stefan Savage.
Yes. Yeah, I tweeted this on the account this morning. I'm not a big fan of this whole thing where he thinks he can outrun players. He thinks he can beat players for pace now. It's like the second straight game he's tried to do that.
Yeah, not a good idea. Of all the things that he should not get overly cocky about, pace might be one of the key ones.
And like both times it's either led to a goal like immediately after or very soon after it has led to a goal.
Yeah, he hasn't had the best weeks.
Yeah, he can say that about a lot of players in the team now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into this. Let's dive into another 1-1 draw at the Wanda Metropolitano, the fourth time this season, the third in La Liga, that Atletico have gone ahead 1-0 and ended up drawing 1-1. Or losing 2-1, as they did last week.
Yeah, and it wasn't particularly inspiring, especially considering some of the substitutions that happened, but we'll probably get there later.
Oh, believe you me, we're going to get there. That's not a threat, that's a promise.
Yes, I figured we might.
Yeah, no, but it was... Yeah, at the end of the day, it was very uninspiring. It started really promising. Simeone went to try to match Girona's three at the back. He came out in kind of a 3-4-2-1, a 3-4-3, however you want to call it. Yannick Carrasco was effectively the left back, which, okay. I mean,
yeah,
sure.
Woohoo.
Yeah, and that's an adventure. I mean, he's got the pace for it, but he doesn't really have any of the other qualities.
Yeah, noted defensive specialist Yannick Carrasco.
Noted pinpoint crosser Yannick Carrasco.
Yes, exactly. Especially when he's a right footer playing on the left wing.
Yeah, but again, Atletico missed Felipe really badly. He re-injured himself during the week. It looked like he was very close to coming back, but he got hurt again. And no one knows if he's going to play on Tuesday yet. We'll see. No one knows for sure.
That's kind of something that Atleti really did not need to happen, because without Felipe, they're dreadfully short on fullbacks.
Yeah, we saw that again today, because eventually, as you may have been following the script, eventually Atleti morphed back into that familiar 4-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucas went back to playing left back, and Atleti couldn't create anything. I mean, Simeone tried this, in effect, because not only did three at the back work out really well last time they played Girona, back in August, but because Lucas isn't a left back and there's no Felipe, so you figure you have a really speedy guy who can cut inside and make plays, and Lucas can shift over to the left-hand side when Girona counter because Carrasco loses the ball. That was his thinking. It was interesting. It was creative. Give him brownie points for that.
Yeah, I suppose it's admirable that he matched up with Girona. I mean, it wasn't as exciting of a draw as the first game of the season, but, you know, and this one's a little bit more deflating, I'd say. I mean,
yeah,
I'd say Atleti were probably the better team, but it was a very close match overall.
I mean, I'm not even sure about that, because that segues nicely into the goal and then what happened after the goal. The goal was offside. Griezmann and Acosta were both, like, inches more than a few inches offside. It wasn't spotted. Acosta took out Bono as well. Bono had to be substituted at halftime because Acosta effectively injured him. I think it was some kind of leg injury, but Acosta nodded it over to Griezmann, who again was offside, for him to just slot into an empty net. It was a nice goal. It was nicely taken. It's something we haven't seen from Griezmann much this season. And then Griezmann goes and peels away while everyone else tends to Acosta, which I think is a
Even if
unintentional, is a commentary on where Griezmann is right now, where his head is right now.
Yeah, exactly. And Costa has a thing for getting injured directly after Atleti score a goal. So yeah, but no, he risked it. He really went in hard on the goalkeeper, and it was a great assist. And you know, as you said, Griezmann took it really well. I mean, he really did. He slid it right in there.
Yep. So now that's five games Costa has played since his return, and he's scored or assisted a goal in each of those five games. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he's been pretty darn good, hasn't he?
And yet, the results kind of stay the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a weird week because they had the poor result in the Copa, and then I think, kind of looking forward to the second leg of that, Simeone decided to rest some players, and that kind of backfired pretty heavily.
I don't think there was a kinda about it.
Yeah, fair.
It hilariously backfired. Well, not hilarious for Atletico writers and fans, but it backfired tremendously. Because after the goal, Atleti just kind of really didn't do much. I think that they thought they had it in the bag. They said, right, it's 1-0. Girona haven't really done anything in 70 minutes. Let's take off Costa. Let's take off Griezmann. Okay, great. 4 minutes later, 1-1.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that was their best chance of the match before. That would have been difficult for them not to score it. It was sort of, you know, it was a very good opportunity, and they took it. So against the side that have been this good all season, it wasn't really surprising that they got back into it second half, especially Atleti got kind of negative, and it was just kind of nasty.
Atletico very clearly underestimated Girona, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do know why they did it. It's unacceptable why they did it. Atletico were in control, not because they were doing anything really exceedingly well. The attacks weren't really going anywhere. There was a lot of sideways passing, a lot of just pinging the ball around, waiting for space to open up. Carrasco had a really good chance about 10 minutes before the goal that was saved by Gorka. Correa had one before Griezmann's goal that was saved by Bono. So you look back at those chances, okay, maybe Atletico could have gotten one. And you look back at those chances, especially after Girona score, and you say, wow, they really could have used a goal there. It's fine margins that, for the umpteenth time this season, we've said Atleti cannot really deal with the fine margins. The fine margins haven't been there this season. The fine margins between wins and draws, of which they now have 7 in La Liga through 20 weeks.
Yeah, they've drawn a lot this season, and it's just kind of the way. I mean, it's such a strange thing about the Diego Simeone factor, is that the substitutions are always just very strange in the situation where he's trying to hold on to a 1-0 lead. Because that never ends up being comfortable, even if you do get away with it like they did not today.
And like they have earlier this season. And yeah, he said, with the Costa substitution, I understand, because Costa is apparently dealing with an adductor annoyance, or an adductor irritation is a better way to put it. So he probably was going to play Tuesday, but he had to come off on the hour as a precaution. And Griezmann came off on 10 minutes later, which, why? Like, why? It's still a 1-0 game. It's not like this was 2 or 3-0. I mean, Atletico were in control, but things can change on the drop of a hat, which they did. And I think Simeone is still trying to figure out what his best team is. I don't think he knows. It's the end of January, and Simeone does not know what his best team is. He's still trying to figure out where Vitolo fits. He's still trying to figure out where Carrasco and Correa fit. He's still trying to figure out if he should play Griezmann with anyone else other than Costa. Because he was on the pitch with Gamero for 10 minutes and Gamero did nothing. And before or after
Gamero did almost less than nothing.
Yeah, Gamero did just nothing before or after Griezmann left the game.
Yeah, it was a very, very weird performance. The second half was extremely disappointing. It just didn't work. I mean, bringing on Kevin Gamero and then sort of sliding in Gael Correa further forward, and I mean, it was just a very strange change. And it didn't work out because they kind of got caught with their pants down. I mean, they take off Costa and Griezmann, and then Girona score, and it's like, well, now we're screwed because we took off our two best attacking players.
Yeah, the Gamero change I got. The Koke, bringing in Koke, I don't know why. If you're going to make that change, you bring in Gabby or you just don't do it at all. And then he throws Vitolo on with 10 minutes to go because he's like, oh shit, we've been caught out. What do we do now? And he throws on Vitolo, right. And Vitolo's cold because he got pulled at halftime and he didn't play last week. He's played 45 minutes. He played 55 minutes in the last three games. That's the guy you spent 35 million euros on and you're not using him.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think the most irritating substitution was Koke because Atletico's problem wasn't in creating chances, is that they didn't really get that much penetration. They bring on Koke, I mean, he's an excellent passer. He's going to come on and do his thing, but you know, that wasn't the problem. It was kind of a solution for a problem that didn't exist, and it ended up backfiring. They didn't have a clinical finisher to take the chances that they did make.
Yeah, in effect, it created a whole nother problem instead.
Right.
Because I just don't get what the point of the Koke substitution was. And Simeone said after the game that, well, you know, we just wanted to bulk up the center. Like, come on, man, really?
Koke was kind of halfway here, halfway there, and just didn't contribute that much. To be fair, it's not his fault, but it just wasn't the best situation for him to come into.
Yeah, and Koke was the one who scuffed the clearance that Bernardo kept in play to head over to Porto, who slid in the equalizer. So, yeah, if Koke hadn't scuffed that clearance, Atletico still might have conceded, but they wouldn't have conceded there.
Right, exactly. It was a frustrating performance all around. I think in a lot of senses they were just very sloppy, especially in being dispossessed quite frequently. I think that was a big problem today. They couldn't ever get anything going to a great degree, and a lot of sideways passing, which is kind of frustrating
that,
to watch.
That tackle by Oblak, though.
Oh God! That was excellent.
That was sick.
Yeah, no, that was my favorite part of the whole match.
If he comes over to America, he's got a future as a linebacker.
I'm telling you that. Man, he's a big old dude, and he ran there and chopped him down.
He wrapped Olunga up.
I was briefly concerned he was going to get sent off.
I was too. He probably should have been.
Yeah, because it was sort of last man, but
of a nasty challenge, so it could have been a red on another day. If we had the Munuera, it would have been a red.
Yeah, it was kind of nasty, but we definitely didn't want to see Moya coming on after what happened midweek. But
yeah, I don't think he's very popular right now.
No, we need Oblak for as much time as possible.
I mean, what else? Yeah, Savage is Savage. I mean, Simeone didn't really have any other options today with Godin suspended, but you know, he just wasn't that great. Versalco was pretty good. He came off for Vitolo. I thought Versalco was good, but he's going to be there. It is. He's going to be suspended for Las Palmas next week. He picked up a yellow card. I didn't think he played enough minutes to get five yellow cards, but I guess he did.
Yeah, he will do that.
Yeah, he picked one up. He'll be suspended for Las Palmas next week. Carrasco was a left back, and then he was Carrasco just charging around, cutting inside of the center, doing whatever he wants because he's. If I had Yannick Carrasco's confidence, you know, the world would be my oyster.
Yeah, he loves a jolly forward and trying to get past people. I thought he was pretty ineffective with his dribbling today overall.
That's nothing new.
He didn't complete any.
Yeah, that's really nothing new. I mean, he was just kind of a nothing out there, and I don't know what Simeone's going to do with him. He played 90 minutes, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of looking forward to seeing him start for the first time in a little bit, and wasn't that impressive. Granted, you know, he's not a left wing back, certainly, and this was kind of a weird circumstance, but even still, kind of irritating.
Yeah, and speaking of players who I don't know what Simeone's going to do with them, Correa, who played played the whole 90 minutes, he just didn't really do anything. His one big chance went wanting again, starting to lose a little bit of patience here, because Simeone is giving him more time than he's ever gotten before, and he's just not making the most of it.
Yeah, it's strange given how well he started the season, and now he generally gets one good chance every game that he shoots wide. That's generally been the pattern so far this year. It is frustrating because we know the talent he has. He's just not really been able to make the most of it.
No, and I'm really struggling today, man. I don't know what's going on. Really struggling over here.
It's all right. We can all be slow on Saturday.
Really struggling. I mean, I was up early today for this. So, but anywho, I don't know how many more chances Correa is going to get here. I mean, his expected goals this season has got to be like through the roof. He misses all these chances that he should be burying. He's a quality player, and we see it a lot. But he needs to finish these chances. There's just no two ways about it.
He gets a chance early in the match and then sort of tails off and doesn't create as much.
That's what happened today. That's exactly what happened today.
Yeah. And I think that happened in the last match, the last league match as well. He created an early chance 20 or so minutes in, and then that's it. There's no more shots for the rest of the match.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, we do have to give some credit to Girona, though. They played well. For like the last 20 minutes, they were excellent. They were just kind of like a sleeping giant, I guess, as it were. I mean, because the first 60-70 minutes, they really weren't at the races, but Atletico failed to punish them. And they woke up after the Griezmann substitution. They won a couple free kicks. Koke failed to... He scuffed the clearance. Ball came back in for Porto. And I thought Girona were going to get a winner. At the very end, I thought they were going to get a winner. Wouldn't have surprised me.
They looked the more likely, certainly, towards the end there. Atletico just kind of turtled up and hoped for the best. And it ended up, I guess, working out. We wanted them to get a winner, but...
You can't do that at home. They have 5 wins and 4 draws at home this season in La Liga. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, they haven't been that good. And now they face an even tougher task when they have to play Sevilla on Tuesday, because that's a game now that they're going to have to give their all for. And that's why we took off Griezmann and Costa. Yeah. So if midweek they go out and lose again, then it's like, well, what was the point of bringing the both of them off?
And it was so clearly the game they were looking to. I mean, Atletico just...
Yeah.
They were uninterested in this game. I think they were a bit lucky to get the draw, not just because the goal was offside, but I don't want to say they didn't care because I wasn't there, but it looked to me like they were just kind of eh. They looked uninterested. They were too comfortable. Simeone's changes made them only more at ease. They didn't really offer any challenges to anyone. When it came time to respond after Porto scored the equalizer, they had no idea what to do. And, you know, draws happen. Teams slip up. La Liga is a much stronger league than it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think we know that. Physical errors, I can understand. Those are acceptable, but this was mental. You know, mental errors just are inexcusable. And you can't convince me that they weren't looking ahead to Tuesday. And that just takes a sledgehammer to Simeone's partito a partito philosophy. He's always touted. He's been touting again this season. And very clearly was not the case today.
Well, I think Atletico were also missing two of their most dominant personalities at the club. Gabby and Godin neither played. And I think that made a big difference because they didn't really have someone out there. I mean, other than Diego Costa, really, no one out there is kind of Simeone's man on the pitch. I mean, that was supposed to be Saul, who was captain, but I don't think he really had the greatest of games today.
And Saul's playing too deep anyway.
Yeah.
He's playing way too deep. You have a talent like Saul, and you're just wasting it by playing him effectively as a shield for the center backs.
Yeah, and I mean, he wasn't terrible, but I think this is nowhere near his best possible game. Just wasn't that involved. He was mostly in the middle of midfield and not being able to get into dangerous positions as much as we would have liked.
And that's the way the ball bounces. I mean, it's a point is better than none, especially since Valencia lost at Leti. Actually gained a point on Valencia, so they're still second for now, 3 points clear of Valencia. Then they meet up at the Wanda Metropolitano in a couple weeks. That'll be a big, big, big game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you saw this a lot on Twitter. Oh, La Liga is done. I think Marca ran the headline, adios to La Liga, because you were thinking about the cup. And, like, that's fine, but Atleti were never going to win La Liga. That's a dirty little secret. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Atleti were the only team that could theoretically challenge Barca, but even then, Atleti were too far behind, and Barcelona have just been too dominant to really... truly be challenged this season. Now, they could go draw points at Betis tomorrow night, and who knows? Atleti will actually have had a pretty good weekend if Betis take a point off Barca. But as it stands right now, this was a performance where, I mean, Simeone doesn't know how to handle this team yet. He doesn't know who fits where, especially in his midfield, especially in his wide midfield positions. He's got to sort this out.
Well, soon. I think Thomas made a pretty strong that he should be starting a bit more. I think he outshone Saul, which isn't something I expected to happen regularly at the start of the season, but I thought he was very good.
Yeah, Thomas was excellent again. He's just been consistently really solid this season. I think this was his 16th league start. 16 or 17. I mean, I think he's appeared in all but one game. I mean, yeah, Thomas has been great this season.
He can just do everything.
He can. And he delivered the ball over the top to Costa that he headed over to Griezmann. Just an example of just how multifaceted and how versatile his game is becoming, how much he's growing. It's huge to have him and have him developing. So that is a good thing of Simeone putting more and more faith in him. And his development has been great. It's been one of the stories of the season, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if outside of Diego Costa, who may prove that he is, but I think for the most part this season, there's an argument to be made that Tomas has maybe been one of the best players. I mean, nobody's really stood out that much in this team, but in a kind of disappointing-ish season with regard to some of the performances in the league, Tomas has been probably the most consistent and most impressive.
That's interesting. I think we can probably talk about this now since we just started the second half of the season. Who's been Atleti's best player so far? You think it's been Tomas?
I mean, I think there's a case to be made there. Nobody's really stood out that much. I mean, obviously, Oblak is going to be consistently excellent, but, I mean, he's a goalkeeper. He can't. There's not a whole lot he could do more than he already has. But of the first half of the season, I'd have to go for Tomas, personally. I don't think anyone else has stood out as much as he has for me.
I would give a shout to Felipe because of his importance.
Yeah.
I mean, because Felipe has been gone, since the turn of the year? And we've seen what's happened to Atleti's attack, even with Costa in. It's very, very different without Felipe. Because he's still their top playmaker at 32, going on 33 years old. Which, if you ask me, is a little concerning, but I don't know. I don't run the club.
Just a little bit.
So, Tomas is definitely a good shout. Felipe and Oblak are definitely good shouts. I might give the nod to Felipe, just based on how important he is. But Tomas's development has been off the charts.
Yeah, I think it's been amazing. But I would have to agree on Felipe as well. I mean, he's been so excellent and is so important both defensively and offensively. I mean, it is pretty scary that a team's chief creator is their 33-year-old left back. But
it's usually not
how
preferable.
This team works.
It's usually not preferable, yeah. Also not preferable is 29 goals from 20 games.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, it's balanced out by the fact that they just don't concede goals like that.
Yeah, I mean, they have the second-best goal difference in La Liga, but that's because they don't concede any goals.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, I mean, the vast majority of that has to do with Antoine Griezmann being cold basically the entire first half of the season. I mean, just now he's starting to look a little bit better, but even still, he was very disappointing the first half of the season. There are just not that many goal scorers in this team this year.
No, there's not. We've seen signs that it's turning around with Costa and the team, because, again, he's scored or assisted in every game he's played so far. But Vitolo has got to be worked in here somehow. Simeone has got to figure out how to do that. He really does, because fighting as hard as he did for him to just play him less than an hour over three pretty big games, I don't get that. And giving Carrasco and Correa 90 minutes when they don't really deserve 90 minutes it's weird. It's weird. I can't explain it.
I was stunned that Carrasco and Correa both got 90 minutes in this match. I thought that was shocking.
I don't know how.
I mean, the both of them. I mean, take one of them off. I mean, neither of them really had that much of an impact on the game. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, you and me both. So it ended 1-1, and thanks to Valencia's loss, as we've talked about, it's not a horrible day, but it could have been a lot better. You could have gone, five clear of Valencia.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, whatever you think about how much league there was, I mean, it's basically over at this point, even if Barcelona do drop points against Betis tomorrow, which could happen, because Betis have been good against the big teams.
I mean, for me, the goal is always to finish as high as you can, and yeah. Atleti are still second, and if they beat Valencia in a couple weeks, they might have a shot at remaining second. You can't ever count Real Madrid out, because I think they're going to be much better in the second half.
Agreed.
But, yeah, it wasn't a terrible day, but from an Atleti standpoint, you got to play better than this. I know there were key guys out, but even without Gabby, even without Godin, there's enough here. Even without Felipe, there should be enough here. Credit to Girona, who I think Atleti overlooked for the second time this season. You know, they're eighth. They're 5 points off of Europa League place, which is incredible. You know, they're closer to Europa League place than they are to the relegation zone by a long way. So kudos to them. They've been great this year. But Atleti were at home. They were in a winning position, and they blew it.
Well, and I mean, you know, you do have to praise Girona. I mean, in both of the matches where they've drawn with Atleti, I mean, I think you could have easily seen a scenario in which they won both those matches. Oh, they absolutely didn't get lucky to have drawn both those matches. They were great in both of them.
They fully earned the result both times. And they did to Atleti what Atleti did to them back in August, so I guess we're even.
Yep, I guess we are, so I'll take it, I suppose. I mean, and if you couple this result with the Copa del Rey midweek, I mean, that just kind of makes this feel a lot more suckier than it might have otherwise.
Not a very good week.
No, not really.
But speaking of the Copa del Rey, Atleti very, very clearly want to make that right. How else can you explain the team selection and the team changes today? So let's talk about it. Atleti are going to the Pizjuan on Tuesday night to take on Sevilla. Trailing 2-1, it's 2 away goals that Sevilla got from the first leg. I don't think there's much of a shot here. I think Atleti are going to make it a game, but I don't think that there's much chance of a remontada. What do you think?
I think it's possible, but it seems like Sevilla might have gotten things figured out a little bit. They had another win. They won this morning, so.
Yeah, they pounded Espanyol.
Man, it is going to be tough. That's a tough place to go. I mean, I certainly think it's possible. I think it'll be a fun game to watch, to be honest. I'm looking forward to watching it, whichever way it ends up going. I think it'll be definitely worth a watch.
Oh, sure. It's going to be really intense. If Vitolo plays, I'm not sure he's going to make it off the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most interesting things, because given how little he played today, you have to imagine he'll start.
You have to imagine he'll start. You have to imagine Gabby's going to start. Godin's going to start, because he would have started today, but he was suspended. Griezmann will be in there.
Savage start?
Yes. More interesting question is, will Oblak start?
Yeah. That is a good one, because given how badly, I mean, would it totally tank Moya's confidence if you drop him for this game? Maybe, but I think I really dislike the cup keeper thing. I get that you have to keep a backup keeper happy, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Really? I just don't know.
This is a must win.
Yeah, I think you gotta play Oblak. It's just, there's so much of a difference between Moya and Oblak.
There is. I mean, Moya's a fine keeper. I talked about it with Jack on Thursday. I mean, Moya's a fine keeper. He's been a loyal servant. He screwed up. It happens. He just screwed up at a really bad time. That being said, because of his really, really poor timing, Simeone, I think, has a choice to make. You know, I know you know cup keepers and all that good stuff, but you need to win this tie because the Copa is a really good shot at silverware. And if you don't put your best foot forward, if you don't put your best team out there, then why did today happen? Why did Saturday happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be a big game for Griezmann and Costa, who, you know, you gotta, unless Costa is actually injured.
Well, he's getting tested tomorrow. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Club report said they took him out as a precaution. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's nothing serious. They pulled him. He was talking to El Profe at halftime, so he knew something was not quite right. So hopefully they caught it early enough to where they can get him all set. Maybe not horse placenta. What else can you get? Maybe
exactly.
A horse hoof. They can maybe get a horse liver. Would a horse liver do?
Ugh, God. He
I mean,
needs
I gotta.
some. I mean, they're just gonna have to do constant running repairs. Clearly, with Costa, that's gonna be a thing.
I gotta look up
always.
Horse. I gotta look up horse anatomy real quick.
What other horse
what
parts
other,
are available?
What other body parts? Equine anatomy. Okay, here we go. Equine or whatever. Okay, I don't want the bone structure. No, I just want like the guts. I think horse heart is probably that's like for serious injuries, like a torn ACL. maybe a horse hoof might do. You dip that thing in some like voodoo solution.
Voodoo solution.
You know,
yeah.
Or oh no. Dip it in cane sauce.
Oh, there we go.
Dip it in cane sauce. You rub it on his groin area, and there you go. You're good to go. Cane sauce heals.
I'd
really
need to bring in a full time voodoo artist to to do the running repairs on Diego Costa, because clearly he does not heal like a normal human being.
Cane's sauce heals all.
Yes. Oh, that is certainly true. I'm not sure if Diego Costa has ever experienced what that is, though, unfortunately. His loss, not ours.
No, it is. We need to bring the greatness of Raising Cane's worldwide.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Raising Cane's, sponsor our show.
Yes, please. Go on, yes.
Talk about you enough. But no, Sevilla are likely going to go with the same team they went with today, which was the same team they went with on Wednesday, which coincidentally included all their best players. Sarabia, Correa, Mudo Vasquez, Muriel, and Zonzi. It's almost like when you play your best players, you perform better. Who would have thunk it?
Yes,
Ever Banega.
Ancient wingers, Nolito and Jesus Neves. Maybe not play them.
Yeah, maybe not. So
yeah.
I'll bet you Montella is going to go with the same team. And if they're tired at all, you know, Atletico did get some rest today.
Yep.
That tired legs could play a factor in this. And Atleti's legs theoretically should be less tired.
And they're not down massively on aggregate. I mean, it's just a goal. I mean, I think it is definitely possible. I wouldn't count them out of this tie.
Hi, Remontada. There is comeback.
Yes, exactly. We want a comeback.
So
we don't want to just roll over again.
So you're gonna predict the comeback?
Yep, I'll go 3-1.
3-1. That would be
a good one.
That'd be 4-3 on aggregate. Atleti going through on aggregate. I don't think they're gonna do it, but I think they're gonna make it interesting. I'm gonna go with 2-2. I think it'll be like a crazy game like that. And it'll be, you know, 4-3 on aggregate. Sevilla will advance, but it'll be a good game no matter what happens.
I just like to not go to penalties. That'd be best.
Oh yeah, they can't afford extra time.
Not in the middle of the season.
No.
That would not be good. So I really don't want penalties.
Yeah, Atleti are the only team in La Liga that hasn't had a penalty this season.
That is unbelievable, but that's to be honest, I think it might be for the best because we're kind of shit at penalties.
Yeah, better at the end of last season. We seem
well,
to have
I guess
recovered.
Now we have Costa, I feel a little bit better about it. But if it was Griezmann still taking penalties, that just makes me a little nervous.
Well, Costa's record, his last season at Atletico in 13-14, I think he missed 4 out of 10.
We're not a good penalty team.
Yeah, Simeone has admitted they don't practice them, so.
Great, joy. Well, clearly there's no point in practicing them since we
right.
never get them anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, Atletico are the only team in La Liga without a penalty or without a red card against them.
That's weak.
It's really weird. And by my count, Atleti had a penalty go unnoticed today because Bernardo had a handball with about 5 minutes to go that went unnoticed, of course.
Well, lest we forget the Sevilla game that they got totally screwed on that Diego Costa disallowed goal.
Yeah, and well, and last week Augusto had a handball in the Eibar box that went
true.
Again. So
that's true.
These things kind of, you know, weigh each other out. Will Atleti get a penalty this season? True, yes or no?
Yes, on the last day of the season,
of course,
get a penalty.
In the 90th minute on the last day of the season against Eibar, they will get
yeah,
one.
Exactly. I could see that happening, to be honest. It just doesn't even matter. Secures third place.
That'd be quality.
Yeah, sounds about right to me.
All right. So let's go. The Copa del Rey is on Tuesday. Atleti will go back to the Wanda Metropolitano next Saturday to take on a resurgent Las Palmas, because, of course, they are resurgent.
Yes, we're going to play Vitolo's two ex-teams in 1 week.
That's true. Back to back. That's true. Very interesting.
Fun week for him, I'm sure.
Yes.
Not that he probably really cares that much about, even though he's from Las Palmas.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pretty shit when he was there.
They were in second division.
Well, yes, yeah. The first time, but then this season they were also quite bad.
I really don't think Vitello is going to have much fun at Sevilla. I think he's going to start, though.
Because I think he will.
He's got to put his best team out there.
Surely he has to start.
Yeah, you'd really think so. I don't. Vitolo is 28 years old. He's professional. He's played in the Champions League before. He's won Europa League multiple times. He's used to the pressure. You can't be protecting him.
I think he's got to start, yeah, for sure.
And he will. I'm pretty sure he will. All right, so that's coming up on Tuesday. What else you got?
I think that's it.
Wonderful. All right, patrons, you stick around for your bonus rumor roundup pod. But for everyone else, that was Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at RWALK03. That's RWALK03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at JBBarron. You can follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And like ITC on Facebook at Facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Hey, if you want to subscribe and listen to all new episodes, and new and archived episodes, rather, of Colchonero Chat, feel free to do so on your favorite podcasting platform that includes iTunes. Please leave a rating and a review if you're on iTunes. 5-star rating is preferred if you like us that much. How's the rest of this go? All right. Yeah. Also, if you're not a patron yet, but you're interested in becoming a patron, you're interested in supporting the show, really have not had a great day with my English today, feel free to do so at patreon.com/colchonerochat. You'll get access to the aforementioned bonus pods, in addition to a lot of other cool rewards, bonus snippets of the show before it goes live, photos of the editing process, so on and so forth. Until next time, adios.